Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Don't Fuck It Up with me, your host, Kyle. We have a special guest for you this week. Bitch, she's from Chicago. All the way from season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race, Mystique Summers.
So, how is life for you during lockdown and quarantine?
Playing makeup every day, then playing Overwatch, and that's it.
Keeping yourself busy with makeup and video games seems to be a good way to do it.
Yeah, until you get tired of it. Like I almost got to a platinum on my Overwatch, but
okay.
All my teams and stuff I've been playing with been knocking my level down, and I'm like, you know what, let me turn this shit off and just say fuck it.
So what we do with our guests, we try and get the backstory of yourselves and how you became the drag persona that you are and where that all came from. So if we go right back to growing up for you, was performing and drag always something that you wanted to do, or did it just come along spontaneously?
It just came along. That's about it. It just came along. It wasn't always, like, I was in band for 7 years, something like that. Yeah, like 7 years. I was like, if I never left Illinois and moved to Dallas when I was in junior year of high school, or is that the same in the UK and all that stuff?
Oh, see, we do kind of like year 8, 9, and 10 would be like 11, from 11 to 18.
Okay, so right the year before you graduate is our junior year.
Okay.
So I moved to Texas in my junior year, and I'm like, you know, you always have these thoughts. I'm like, if I would have stayed up north, I probably would have went to college to be either a band teacher, or I would have went to school for culinary arts.
Okay.
But I moved down here. I went to school for graphic design and multimedia and visual communication, and then I picked up cross-dressing.
And was there a reason that you started drag? Was it like Halloween that a lot of queens do, or was it just to make some extra money?
Only basic bitches start shit around Halloween. it was just like, you know, it was pretty much a dare, and I was like, okay, let me try it. I was like, oh, this is quick money.
And the rest is history.
Okay. Right, thank you. It's just like okay, but let me go put on this show. Thank you for this quick money. Now let me go about my business.
And so when you came up with the name Mystique Summers, where did that come from?
So mainly with me, Mystique, straight up X-Men.
Okay.
Now the last name Summers is from one of my drag moms. She got it from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Ah.
But a lot of people think it's, you know, Mystique from X-Men and then Scott Summers and all that stuff. And it's just like, no, it's a, you know, X-Men and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
So that's two good fandoms kind of clash together, X-Men and Buffy.
Right?
Yeah, and I'm literally watching through Buffy again during lockdown to give me something to actually do.
Well, if I watched Buffy again for the entire series for this lockdown, I think I've probably seen it, I don't know how many times, because it's just like, let me just hit play. Let me have background music. Let me do something. Wait, I forgot about this episode.
Yeah.
20 hours later. Oh, shit. Okay.
You have 2 seasons full down and you're gone. So what was life like for you before Drag Race? How much were you working, and what was your drag like then?
Oh, back then, before Drag Race, I'm pretty much a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
So I was performing, but I also held a full-time job.
Okay.
Now, when I back all the way back then, I was selling cars.
Oh.
Now, our dress code was button-down solid white shirt. Now, whenever people see me get out of drag, because I could take everything off within five minutes, I'm quick.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have a piece of residue, and everybody's like, how'd you learn how to do that? I'm like, well, when you sell cars and you have to wear solid white, you want to make sure everything is off.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did that, sell cars. Then I got into cell phone business and all that stuff. And, you know, I still perform full time because I'm like I said, I'm a workaholic.
Yeah.
Like, let me have my day job perform, you know, day job regular, night job pays for itself, and I'm just performing all night long. And then, you know, 2-3 hours of sleep, do it again the next day.
That seems like it'd be an exhausting life to live at some point.
Nah, as long as you're hyper, you're good.
Red Bull and courage and keep on going.
That's right. Just keep, just run. Just go for it.
So obviously you're performing in drag, and then Drag Race becomes what it is, like season one airs. How did you watch the show when it first aired?
Well, I almost applied for season one, but I was like, well, let me just wait until if they have another season, then I'll try out for it. Mm-hmm. Because originally I tried out for, like, when season two casting started, I originally tried out for Real World.
Okay.
Got denied because of my age.
Oh.
Well, almost my age, because, you know, at that time they had age cutoffs and all that crap back then. Now they don't. But back then they had all that. Then I was like, okay, let me try this Drag Race thing. And then, you know, I did my casting tape, sent it off, and rest is history.
Yeah.
I pretty much applied once. Then that was it.
And got first time?
Yeah.
And your casting tape itself, how did that process go for you? Because I know, speaking to some of the girls from more recent seasons, it's a very extensive process. So what was it like for you back then?
Well, ours wasn't really that hardcore as what it is now. Mm-hmm. But what it is now is still the same how I did it. You just have to do it smart.
Okay.
Because whenever they say, oh my God, we want to see all your drive. We want to see this. They really don't want to see all that.
Yeah.
Because on mine, it asks, oh my God, we want to see your closet and blah, blah, blah. I don't even think I showed my closet. Okay. I know, like Morgan showed her closet, which was, you know, her trunk of her car with her suitcase. Here's my closet. You know, you just have to know bits and pieces. Ours was a thing. I think it had to be under a 15-minute video or a 10-minute video. I don't remember. And we had to show a couple looks. Then we had to perform. We had to give three songs: a runway song. We had to, you know, show we can walk a runway.
Mm-hmm.
Do one of his performance songs and then one of our own songs. Then that's it.
Okay.
And then that was it. It was nothing all hardcore like how they used to say, you know, oh, show me something you made. Show me an acting challenge. Show me this, show me that. What they got to do now. And everybody's like, how am I going to fit this in 15 minutes? And I'm like, I was reading it. I was like, I should try out for this. And I was like, this looks a little hardcore. Then I'm still reading. I'm like, they don't want you to do all of this.
Yeah.
It's just all about how much could you do without looking crazy and going, having so many jump edits and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You read what you have to have. If you have to have the full 6 minutes of his song and you have 4 minutes for everything else, okay, in that 4 minutes, you show the key important pieces. You don't got to show a closet. Fuck a closet. Let me show you this performance, show you me, blah, 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 just the key elements. And not like, oh my God, here's a gown. Here's my favorite wig because of this and all this stuff. That's like, it's like fuller stuff. It's like, yeah. show them why you want to be on a show. Like me, I'll be like this. Yep, this is my whole favorite lip gloss because this favorite lip gloss, y'all, you know, look what it's doing. It's just all popping, you know, all that stuff, you know. You got to multitask instead of just like, yeah, my wig. And nope, throw the wig on. Just show them you're out the box, because they've seen 50 million takes of everybody doing the same thing. Showing, hi, this is my wig. Oh, hi, this is my headpiece. And just like, okay, let me hit stop today, because that's boring. That's fine.
Yeah. It's primarily being smart about what you're showing them and showing them the best of what you can do in that short amount of time, I guess.
It's mainly just showing them your personality.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that stuff about show me your closet, it's not really about your closet. It's about your personality. Mm-hmm. Show me your personality. Why are you showing me the closet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how long was it before you got the call that you were cast on the show from when you sent the tape?
Okay, so I was a smart cookie back then. I was very, very, very smart. So I submitted my video online.
Mm-hmm.
Then I mailed in my video.
Okay.
Then I mailed in another video on another mini DV, and it had to been, it was like signature release. So someone had to sign it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, now I know somebody up there, one of them bitches got it, no matter what. And then I submitted it, I want to say like 2 weeks later, they wanted some more stuff and, you know, like the contracts and everything. And then we have to do the whole, you know, psych evaluation. And still to this day, I don't know how I passed the psych evaluation. And then really like really thinking about it, I don't know how anybody on season 2 passed the psych evaluation. So probably, I think we all failed the psych evaluation. It's like, well, all them bitches fail. Let's just throw them together. But I want to say like a month and a half.
Okay. And then when you actually got that call, how did you feel in that moment? Were you kind of excited that you've been given the opportunity?
Well, that is the crazy thing, because the person I was talking to for the whole thing didn't call me. Somebody else called me. And I was just like I was like, hi. They're just like, I'm like, hey, is this Missy? I was like, okay. I was like, yeah. They're like, okay, do not scream.
Okay.
Okay. You were cast and blah, 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 blah. But the person I was always talking to earlier was like, I'm so upset because she wanted to call me and let me know and all this stuff. Because, you know, well, watch these people videos now and everything, when they get cast, it's all through Zoom and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my God, like, you know, we just got the old school. Here's a phone call. Okay, bye. Click.
And obviously you get the breakdown of what you need to bring, or kind of a list of a loose adaptation of what you need to bring with you. Was that a very extensive list back then?
Kind of, sort of. It just gave you hints of stuff that you may need.
Mm.
Hence the word may need. Because some of the stuff you bring, you'd be like, well, okay, I didn't even need this. We didn't do anything about this. Why did I just spend money on this or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
But no, yeah, everybody get a list of saying, hey, things that you may need.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the song list and everything. Ours was kind of fucked up because we had one song, then they changed it. And then we got, before we flew out, we got another CD with a couple other songs on it. So they were like changing songs and everything before we even got there. So it was just like, oh, so I got to learn, I have a day to learn this?
Yeah.
Okay, sure, let's go for it or whatever. But no.
On that list, how many outfits did you have to prepare?
I don't remember. That was like 10 years ago.
Does it feel like it was 10 years ago when you think back on it? Or could you remember it like yesterday?
It doesn't feel like it's been 10 years, because me and my catchphrase has been on every single season and All-Star and all the shit every single year. And they still won't even have me back on the show. So I'm just like, well, damn. Y'all use all my catchphrase for everything. Oh, wait, and it's on a single. So it's like, well, the hell, you using my shit all this thing, but you can't say, Mystique, come on up in here and just say, hey, you know what? These bitches could have Zoom called me. I could be like, hey, type of thing. But no, does it feel like 10 years? No, it doesn't feel like 10, like bits and pieces feel like it's like 10 years when it's like, oh, what did you have to bring for this? And just like, I don't remember. Challenges, I remember that and everything, because we all went just to have, you know, have fun. I went because I was like, this is something new, and it's to see drag in a different, well, meet other drag entertainers that's not in the pageantry circuit that I'm used to around here. It's just to see different types.
And what was your expectations, obviously, from watching season 1 going into the show?
Ain't nobody had no expectations. Well, no. We all thought we were gonna be in a, like, almost like Big Brother style, put in the house, do all this shit. You know, we all thought that, but you know, that didn't happen. So we were just all like, okay, we go to a hotel. Okay, let's walk around this hotel. Let's go swimming. Okay, yay.
And were you given some a bit more freedom on your downtime compared to now when they're kind of locked in the door with duct tape?
We had a lot of freedom. A
Okay.
lot of freedom.
And when we say a lot, what are we talking about?
We had a lot of freedom. Some of us was, we all just had almost like pajama parties and everything, sleeping in everybody's room and all that stuff, then waking up that, oh, let's go downstairs, get coffee. Oh my God, there's that swimming pool. Let's go swim. Let's oh wait, I can't say that. They may not cast me for that if I say that. It was more, well, no. Our assistant let us, so it was like, oh my God, there's a gas station on this corner. Can we run to the gas station? Sure. Thank you. Let's walk to this gas station and let's just get, some bottle of wine, some chips, stuff like that. And then like, let's go back. And then now what I hear, whenever they're like, oh yeah, you're locked in a room, you're like this, and I'm like, that ain't gonna fly with me.
That seems like it's a lot to be stuck in a one solitary room on your own with no kind of communication device, no phone, no laptop, nothing.
As long as I have movies and stuff, I'm good. Or I have makeup to play around with, I'm good. I'll bring a whole bunch of wigs and start sewing shit. I'm good. The only thing I'm like, just don't tape the door. Because if something happens, I'll start panicking and start freaking out. I'm just like, just don't tape this door. Because I'm gonna think like hotel's on fire. I can't get out. I'm not gonna smell the smoke because the duct tape got everything blocked off, and I was just like, okay, well, I guess we're all gonna die.
And so day one, walking into the workroom, obviously, again, it's a lot different compared to what it is now. Everything now is a lot more produced, and they just walk in and they have their catchphrase and all like sorted and organized. And you had a door that you had to open yourselves.
Why we have to open up our own door, close our own door, get yelled at for saying, "Ooh, it's hot in here. Where can we get the air back on? Oh my God, why is it hot in here? Who is sweating? Oh my God, why are we all sweating?" Got yelled at for that. We were bad kids on season two.
How did it feel walking into the workroom for the first time and seeing the rest of the queens that were there?
With that off, I walked in just like, oh, interesting. I'm like, okay, I've never seen your type of drag. Oh my God, you're cute. Never seen your type of drag. Oh my God, you need a little bit more makeup, but it's okay. But just walk around like, okay, I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but here we go. Let's go.
And the photo shoot on day one, how was that to do with your curtains and your challenge and like what was going through your head having so much work to do and just getting there?
I think we had a lot more work on our first episode than any other episodes, than any other seasons. Because everybody else seemed like they just go in, hey, here's this, hold this, take a picture, bye, you're done. Up there, we have to do this. Oh, wait, I forgot, they don't sew no more. So, yeah, so we'll throw that in there too. But no, yeah, it was just like going there. It's like, okay, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this. And it's just like me, I thrive under pressure. I love being like stressed and make me kind of, work more efficiently and all this stuff. Like getting in full drag and in 1 hour is something that none of us did, and we got together and did all that stuff. And it was just like, we just had a lot of stuff, and it's just like, what if I don't have time to finish something? I'm like, because when we're out there on stage or whatever, we can't see what we look like. I don't know what I look like under y'all cameras or y'all lighting. Because we're gonna go out there, do the runway, and come back. But when we come off the stage, we don't go back into workrooms. Like how now they go into work the little workroom, and they just chill and they get to change, they change clothes and all this stuff. If you notice. Like no, we got like, here's the stage. We walk off the stage. We're still lined up here to be brought right back. And then we go to the Interior Illusions Lounge. And then we come back. Oh, no, no, no. Interior Illusions Lounge. Then it's a break to eat. And then back. So, if you was lucky enough to be in the workroom to eat, you're good. If you're not, hopefully you had a little mirror or something with you to kind of touch up before having to go back out there.
So how long would that shooting day be for a standard episode if you're on the runway?
Well, from the runway, if you count the confessionals, like we'll get there by like 8 o'clock. We'll get back to our hotel about 10 or 11.
So it's a more than like 12 hour day more.
It's a long, long day.
Especially in heels.
Of course it's heels. And all. We were all cool because, you know, we'll be like, okay, let me just, you know, long dress. Let me take off a heel and just lean to the side or something or lean on something or anything like that. But, you know, it was just like, okay, we got to stand here and be quiet.
And again, that's something that has changed in the more recent years is the confessionals. So did Jesus do them during the episode now that they kind of have to be in the same outfit for everything so they can clip and change where they need it to be, where you couldn't really do that in season two because you were wearing different clothes for everything?
Oh yeah, ours was we did it after the end of every day.
Okay.
It'd be like this, be like, okay, day one, okay, over, okay, confessional time, then talk, day two, confessional time, blah 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 blah. So yeah, so it was like, now it's like, I'm like, are y'all gonna wash these clothes? Because I'm not about to be here in the same clothing and all this stuff, because I'm gonna forget and be like, oh well, I don't want to wear that no more.
And was doing the confessional something that you enjoyed doing? Was it like kind of a bit of a therapy for the day after what you've done through the day?
For me, no, it was just funny because I just started talking because all my confessionals was just all like, we're here to have fun. Let's just, you know, let's just have at it, because I'm like, I don't want to be on there and be like, oh, she was fucking horrible. Why the fuck she do this? Blah, blah. When it's like, you know, it's not my personality to be like, let me hide behind something, say this, and it'd be like, oh my God, girl, you was all this. No, girl, if you was horrible or you have something that was like little distasteful. And if you asked about it, yeah, girl, you shouldn't have worn it. But I wouldn't bring it up to be like, oh my gosh, she was horrible. She wasn't doing all that, because I think I was like the only one maybe in the confessionals that didn't talk about anybody or say anything, you know, batshit crazy or anything. But I was the crazy one.
So your first runway when you came out, you had your frick hat on and you did the splits.
Right.
Like, I think it was probably one of the first proper jump splits on the actual runway.
Correct.
So why did you do that? Was it just something spontaneous?
Pretty much, because it's always like, it's a competition. You gotta, be an individual, stand out, because whenever I was on there, I was like, okay, I was like, we got all these mannequins, but none of these mannequins are my size.
Yeah.
And like, where's these mannequins? And everybody's like, oh, just pat up the mannequin. I was like, okay, so if I pat up the mannequin with my pads, how am I going to put, I'm going to rip off all this duct tape and do all this extra work? Like, no. Then I was like, what can I do? I was like, okay, you know what? Everybody else is just walking, not doing anything. Okay, I'm just going to walk, take the head off, boop, or hit the split and just call it a day and see where it goes. Mm-hmm. And then the big old fight happened and all this stuff. Hell.
Did they ever get you a dress form that was your size?
Oh, yes, they did.
But they didn't have it ready for you day one when you needed it?
It didn't show. I don't think they know I know this, but it didn't show up until the next day after I got eliminated.
What? That's so stupid. And like you just mentioned there, the iconic untucked fight, bet you're from Chicago.
Right.
Everyone has been quoting that line, like you said, for the past decade.
The reason why half these hoes get to charge $2,000-$3,000 and everything and shit.
How did that all start? Like, where did the fight actually begin?
It started in that same room.
Okay. What was the reason?
It was a little, the fight was a little bit longer than what y'all saw.
Okay.
What y'all saw was the tail end of it when the camera crew finally found it. Correct. It was like, it's like when are people, well, what happened was eavesdropping.
Okay.
And people thought that what me and Tatiana was talking about was something else. When it wasn't about me all complaining. They're just like, girl, what are you talking about? I'm like, why are you jumping in this conversation? I'm like, we're over here. You're in Timbuktu, but you're jumping into the conversation. Like why? And then, you know, when people get misunderstood, when type A personality versus type A personality start talking, you know, immature type A personalities are not going to back down.
Yeah.
So, AKA immature personality Morgan versus type A immature Mystique, none of us is backing down. So we're just going to continue to go. We just go headbutting, just keep going until somebody go to jail or something, or we going to fight. Something's going to happen.
So like you said, there was some stuff that we didn't see. Was there anything like more serious said during when the cameras were down?
Nothing really hardcore serious or anything. It was just pretty much the build up. Mm-hmm. You start talking, then, you know, the arguments, because whenever I start getting kind of upset and start getting mad, I start talking faster and faster. And I'm just going to keep on going and be like, oh my God, what the fuck are you talking to me for? I don't got time for your goddamn motherfucking ass. Can you please step the fuck away from me? And, you know, start going. Mm-hmm. And then I have keywords I say, well, immature Mystique, have keywords meaning, hey, stop fucking with me. I'm really pissed off now and I'm about to fight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lay hands on you. Just step back. And that is the word sweetie.
Okay.
So I'll be like, okay, sweetie, calm down. You know what, sweetie? You're getting on my nerves. And it's just that it's that whole word sweetie. If I say sweetie to one person three times, it's a over. Done deal. I'm pissed. Like it's done. It's a done deal.
Yeah.
But I just say sweetie to calm, be like, huh, okay, sweetie, get back.
Yeah.
You know, just be like, hey, here's your warning. Back.
And did you ever discuss that fight after that wasn't shown? Like, while you were still on the show, did you talk it out? Or was it something that you just avoided altogether?
No, we pretty much avoided each other. We never had a talking. Me and Morgan, we never really talked about it or whatever.
Still to this day?
Yeah, we both know we were young and immature type A personalities. Mm-hmm. We just laugh at it like it's just stupid. And me, like you know, if something goes, you know, something happens, I can call Morgan or she can call me and we'll be like, okay, what's going on? XYZ. But, you know, at that time when I think I was like 25 or something, like, you know, whenever you're young, you're just like, let me put on my, you know, big girl heels and everything. It's like, okay, bitch, what the fuck's going on? And doing that whole, you know, catty behavior and stuff.
Yeah.
Type of thing. But now it's just like, we just laugh about it. We tell everybody, if y'all want to book me and Morgan for the Bitch from Chicago, whatever, incident or fight or whatever, we will actually start a fight on Facebook to make people really think we really hate each other. Because still, till this day, people think me and her, we hate each other. And it's just like...
People grow up.
Right.
So how does it feel? Like you said, people have been saying your catchphrase and it's been used for 10 years, but you don't seem to get credited for it an awful lot.
I don't think I got credited at all.
Yeah.
Is that not frustrating? It used to be the credit I used to get was whenever they show a clip of me and Morgan. It's whenever I used to get that. Now it's like, and no, nothing or anything. It's just like, okay. It's like, kind of, it's like, let's just, it's almost like, let's erase Mystique out this history.
Keep this iconic line.
Correct. Keep these catchphrases, but we're going to just erase her right on out. It's okay. We don't need her. Just erase her right on out.
And there was some strange tasks that you guys had to do during season two that they've not done again, like the Eaton challenge.
Oh, the fear factor of drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably why they've never done it again, because it is compared to Fear Factor.
Whatever. It's just like, hey, you got to do it. But it's just, yeah.
Did you expect that you would have to go in and start eating those kinds of things in a drag competition?
Well, no, because I'm just like, what does some of this stuff have to pertain about drag competition? Yeah. But you know, every year drag changes and all that good stuff, but it's still, I'm just like, some of the stuff that we did was, like, we were like on Fear Factor. Because I'm like, I want to see half these hoes do what we had to do.
So you eat like bull testicles and alligator and all sorts, like.
Yeah, we had bull testicles, frog legs, I think.
Cow brain?
Yeah, cow brain. Then we had actual chicken, and it was something else. I think it was an alligator. It was something. It's something weird. It was just like, okay, it was let's fucking go for it, type of thing. But yeah. But no, still, I'm like, what does this have to do with drag? Like, does this mean like you know, one day down the road we're all going to be, you know, dirt poor under a quarantine? I have to figure out what to eat or something. Like, interesting.
And that led into your stripper episode, where you done the striptease dance for Dita Von Teese.
Yeah, like, you know, I can understand what it's like. Okay, be a stripper, then drag. Okay, that's fine, because that's where my drag aesthetic is, and my makeup aesthetic.
Yeah.
Because I can give you my, you know, good old drag mystique, the painted for filth, all the makeup in the world, or I can give you everyday librarian, no makeup, okay. Or I can give you this look, which is borderline real girl, mm-hmm. Or is she a transsexual? That whole blur line, and that blur line is normally stripper. So, so I was just like, okay, we can be a stripper, like let's go for it.
Was it intimidating doing it in front of Dita Von Teese, who is probably one of the most well-known striptease artists in the world?
No. What was nerve-wracking was, it was hot as fuck in there. Just like, I hope this makeup stays on and I don't look crazy. And it's just like I tell everybody, you only live once. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't going to be like me, but oh my God, I'm so scared. She's out here. She's going to judge me for this. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's people out there judging everybody else for everything else. I'm like, just go out there, have fun. You only live once. Go for it. Have fun. Then then we have to go out and walk the streets. And yeah, I want to see these hoes walk the streets. What we have to do and try to sell some cherry pie gift certificates.
How was that being in Hollywood and standing on the street in broad daylight in full drag? Selling cherry pie certificates
in the tourist area as well. How do you think, in the middle of the heat, in the middle of summer, walking around trying to get people to buy cherry pie gift certificates? Now I know how to paint for daylight. Now then, baby, they will probably be like, who is this? What the hell is going on? And you know me, I'm just trying to be like, oh my God, hi, how are you? Would you like to buy a cherry pie gift certificate? The money goes to kids. You know, I was just saying shit. And then you had the, you know, good old Nicole with her good old country accent screaming, yep. Cherry pie! And I'm just like, oh, girl.
And like, hey, hi. Did you get any colorful comments during that time? Or did people just kind of try and ignore it and walk on?
Some people was, you know, trying to ignore it. We didn't get any colorful comments. Well, my team didn't get any colorful comments, I think, because they knew, you know, our team would just be like, okay, if I get a colorful comment or Let's something go. Off the wall, I'm running. Let's go. I'm chasing you down a road. That would have been so interesting to see mm-hmm. right there. Just be like, oh my God, they're chasing after somebody. But no, yeah, none of us, we never got any colorful comments or anything. Everybody was just like, okay, like, it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
And see, once you watch back on the show and see some of the comments from other queens during their confessionals towards you, how did it feel watching that for the first time, seeing people that you maybe thought that were friendly towards you, saying things that weren't so friendly?
Well, the thing is, like I said, everybody talks about everybody. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't watch like you know, I know on mine, I really didn't say anything bad about anybody, because the thing is, I cannot talk about anybody or judge anybody if I don't know them. I cannot be like, oh my God, that hair she brought was horrible. It was bad. It was dirty. It was blah, 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 blah. But the thing is, what if that's all she could afford and all this stuff and brought it? Mm-hmm. And that came out, and then it's like, oh my God, I just ripped this girl to shreds knowing that she couldn't afford anything. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, shit like that. People want to talk mad shit and confessionals and everything just for camera time.
Yeah.
And with that, I think of more in the long term, mm-hmm. where I'm not going to talk all this shit behind a camera. I'll say it to your face on how I'm thinking and everything, mm-hmm. because you know, you get your confessional, and then after a year later, you watch it, you be like, oh, like, I said that? What? Huh? What? And then, you know, sometimes people like to jump, like, you know, be bandwagon. So all the friends are going to talk, then when they hit the confessional, they're all just going to bash, 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 bash. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it shows the true colors of people and who they really are. Yeah. Because if you can look at somebody in their face and be like, oh, you should wear that. Oh, that looks good on you. Blah, 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 blah. Then go to confessional and be like, why the fuck she wear that? That was fucking horrible. No one's her friend and blah, 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 blah. Then the next day, hey girl, oh my God. Oh, that is pretty and all this stuff. Then it's just like, oh, how fake are you? Mm-hmm. Type of thing.
And
but, for me back then, I was like I said, you know, immature, insecure type A personality. Mm-hmm. Because okay, let me go on this show, and it's just like, oh, okay, first off, no mannequin my size. Mm-hmm. Okay, second off, there's no one here that's like me or about the same size. Everybody else is all twinks.
Yeah.
Okay, third off, I'll give you a little inside secret with this. Third off, okay, I'm the only one here with a speech impediment.
Okay.
Okay. Fourth off, okay, all y'all want to talk about me and my speech impediment. Got you, boos. Got you.
Oh, really? Like, was that a talking point during confessional or just in a room in front of your face?
I don't know if it was in confessionals or not, but it wasn't to my face.
Okay.
It wasn't to my face or anything. It was brought up, some of it was more brought up after I left and everything, but I was mm-hmm. like, whenever people told me, I was just like, wow. So you're going to try to talk about people about their like speech impediment? I was like, before I was even on the show, I've been in speech therapy for like 7 years and all this stuff. I was like, if you would have known me back in like middle school and everything, when I had a real bad stutter and was like real dyslexic and all that stuff, you probably wouldn't be saying anything. But I'm the one that's, you know, down to help you down to the wire, be like, what do you need, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But you're down to talk about somebody, and I think that's why it got edited out the show.
Okay. Do you think that you were put in a disadvantage walking straight in day one than the rest of the queens were?
I wouldn't say a disadvantage or whatever, because like I said, we're all different. Mm-hmm. Everybody was different. I'm the one, like, I believe I'm the one that was just, I probably was the only one that spoke my mind.
Yeah.
And was trying to get that whole, you know, that sisterhood bond and talk to everybody, get to know people and everything to be like, okay, outside this contest, there's life. Like, mm-hmm. like somebody has to lose, okay, whatever. But I'm not going to cut somebody's throat just to win.
Yeah.
It's not that serious.
Yeah.
It's not that serious to do all that. I'm like, I'm here for fun and everything. Like, hey. But then again, sometimes you just got to think of it. Like I said, first off, nobody's like me. Okay. Second off, no mannequin. Okay. That's fine. So it's like, was I supposed to be to be on there to be like, you know, the talked about one or mm-hmm. whatever? But I'm like, my whole personality and the stuff I say that's off the wall, you can't. 10 years going strong. You exactly. can't block a bitch.
So the episode where you were eliminated on the runway, you were red essentially for wearing the same outfit that you wore in the challenge. Was there a reason for that, or was it just because it was a big talking point when the episode aired and when
correct. It was a big talking point and everything. You have to remember one key thing that I said is that, you know, it was like, you know, we have to, you know, make things and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. How do you make things with no mannequin?
That's exactly.
your size. So you just work with what you have.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to be read to death about what choices I made back then, go for it. That's when everybody like, do you have any regrets of the show? I'm like, I live in no regrets. I can go back in time and do everything the same mm-hmm. exact way. And everybody's like, no, I think you would change this. I was like, no, if I go back in time, the only thing I would change is meeting you as a kid to teach you proper skincare because you look older than me. So I could change that, but I won't. But no, I'm like, I live life with no regrets. I did what I did, and case closed. I did what I did. Who cares?
It's good to live life with no regrets.
Thank you. And for all the people that's out there that want to read, oh my God, you shouldn't have done this. I would have done this. Hence the word, I would have, but you have no personality to make it to the show. You got to have these ones that want to talk and say stuff, who've been trying out for the past 27 million years and trying to be all buddy-buddy with all the girls. You're trying to get on the show, and I'm like, baby, I sent in one tip. It's all about a personality. It's not about your look that you learned how to paint like Raven or Trixie on Instagram and YouTube and stuff like that. It's mm-hmm. all about being original and being yourself. That's what it's all about. And yes. not trying to portray someone you think they want.
Yeah. And for challenges that you didn't get to do, who did you have prepared for Snatch Game?
I can tell you this one because I changed since I lost weight. I changed it. I was actually going to do Monique from the Parkers.
Okay.
I was actually going to do that, but now since I lost weight, I have two other ones. I just can't say just in case I get like a phone call, a, you know, a carrier pigeon or something that says, "Hey,
All-Star
you know,
six
team." We'll see you then.
And was there any challenges that you wish you were able to do that you didn't get to do?
Probably like the makeover challenges, the, you know, painting somebody else and mm-hmm. all this stuff, because I was looking like, oh, is that how y'all paint these people?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
That season was the older gentleman. So yeah. How would you have dealt with that?
Oh, I would have been fine. Okay, here we go. Let's pull this duct tape out. We're gonna grab here. We're just gonna pull it back to give you like a nice snatch look, and like, here we go. Oh, you got nice blue eyes. We're just gonna give you a nice smoke eye and call it a day, and you're good, boo. You're good. Less is more. You're good.
Yeah. So I did ask social media for a few questions for yourself. And I wanted to kind of get your feedback on a few of them. A lot of people were asking about your weight loss journey and what your secret was.
Oh, I gained weight though, but thank you.
Everyone has in quarantine.
Thank you, Miss Rona. I went from 220 up to 240. I'm like, well, I need to do something. No. What I did to kick it off was I did nothing but, oh my God, that's perfect. Liquid. I did a liquid detox for 1 month.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. Was that not like really hard?
It was. Very. I did liquid detox because I was watching Fat, Nearly Sick, and Dead or whatever on Netflix. Mm. And it was all about juicing and everything. And I was like, let me try this juicing. And I was like, I just spent $150 on a blender. Oh my God, all this fresh ingredients is so expensive.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to stick to it. So I juicing for liquid diet juicing for 1 month. Mm-hmm. Then I worked my way from working out from 4 nights a week to 6 nights a week while mm-hmm. I was still doing drag and everything. And then I just started eating healthier. Everything was all either grilled or baked, and cutting everything out my system, like carbs, extra sugar, all that crap. Mm-hmm. Like till this day, I haven't had carbonation. I don't even remember what carbonation tastes like in 6-7 years.
Wow.
Something like that.
That's impressive.
Thank you.
Well done. And how has your life and your drag changed since we last seen you on the show?
Well, on a show, I probably looked like I was like already in my 30s and all old and everything. Now I'm just all about my skin, my proper skincare and everything. Because like whenever I was going through my whole Teen Kate Moss, you know, weight loss and stuff like that, the rumor around everywhere. Now, I didn't see this rumor. It came to me.
Okay.
And people was telling me. And I was like, what? Because the rumor was that I lost weight and I was taking care of my skin and everything because I was transitioning. And I was like, I was like, okay. Because they see me in makeup, like, you know, I'll post a makeup look and it'll be all just like this nice soft makeup and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And everybody's like, oh my God, Mystique's a woman now and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, bruh, no. I was like, first off, that's not my calling. Second off, if I was going to become a woman, y'all would not know, because I would disappear, get every single thing I need done, and then I would come back and y'all would be like, who the fuck is you? You know, would have done it like that. But I'm like, just because people start taking care of their skin, try to look younger than what they are, working out and getting better for themselves, because mm-hmm. they're actually enjoying who they are and loving the way that they look and all this stuff, and their self-esteem is better and all that shit.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Trying to change and become a, you know, the opposite sex and all this stuff. It's just like, no. I was like, why don't y'all ask me? Don't run to Reddit and run all this. I'm like, I'm available everywhere. I'm like, I'm pretty much an open book. You can ask me any question that you want, and I'll give you the answer. But you don't have to run to Reddit and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I think Mystique is becoming a woman. Then the whole conversation there is just like, y'all want to know, just ask me. Like hell.
Twitter, Instagram, whatever you have.
For real. You can find Twitter, Instagram, Scruff, Growler. You can find it, bitch, you can find it everywhere. Hell.
And people have also asked for your opinions on your season 2 sisters. Like, is there people you still talk to this day? Is there people you don't get along with?
I talk to, well, I'm not going to say I talk to almost everybody. We're like season 2. We can say with Drag Race and the, you know, everybody wants this perfect sisterhood, blah, 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 sisterhood. You have all these seasons that's like, oh my God, my sister, I love my sister, blah, 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 blah. Who family is really like that?
No one.
Thank you. Now, season 2, we're like this. You know what? Fuck you. Fuck you, fuck your mama, fuck everybody, fuck blah, 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 blah. But if somebody else come in and be like, oh yeah, you know what? Fuck her. No, bitch, no. No, fuck her. I can say this shit. You can't say nothing about that motherfucker. Let me say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's how real families is.
That is.
Bitch, I don't fuck with you, but I ain't gonna let nobody else fuck with you like that, type of thing. But no, Like I'll text Tatiana or join her Instagram live. I'll message Morgan and everything. I'll text Juju and all and stuff like that. You know, I talk to almost, you know, send them all a little, you know, a little message here and there. Or you know, like retweet this, retweet that. Hey girl, how you doing? What's going on in life? What's up? You know, shit like that.
And section off from that question, we'll get to the one that has been asked, is your opinion on James and what has been happening lately, also known or formerly known as Tyra Sanchez.
Okay, perfect. Now, this is how I was explaining it to everybody, because whenever this topic and stuff comes up, everybody I'm talking to, they're like, hold up, do you know how you want to say this? Because, you know, if you say anything crazy or whatever, James normally goes off on, you know, go, you know, say something, which, yeah, you know, you have a right to say what, you know, what you have. Now, what I tell people is it comes in everybody's life. If you feel that your performing lifestyle is done and you're done with it and you're moving on to be a better person for yourself because you see something else for you in the horizon, go for it. That is you, your business, your prerogative. Now, what I don't like is when all these racer chasers, I call drag race fans racer chasers, not the OG fans, because the OG fans, they're, you know, them to ride to die. But these new racer chasers, what they do is they figure out something about somebody. And they'll message be like, oh my God, did you see what Tyra said? This Tyra, da 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 da, Tyra, Tyra, Tyra. And, you know, I could be on Instagram Live. They'd be like, oh my God, Tyra said this, Tyra said this. And I will stop whatever I'm doing and saying, first off, James has already said Tyra's gone. Mm-hmm. So y'all need to respect that fact and start calling him by James and not by Tyra or anything like that, because that's almost like misgendering somebody. Yep. You don't want somebody to do that to you. You need to start doing that for James. Call him James. Don't call him the other name. And then I'm just like, because some of the comments, they was like, why did James do this? I don't like this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, why are you still following James if you don't like what James is doing? Mm-hmm. Okay, I know what it is. You just want to start drama and stuff to see what will happen. And I'm just like, why are y'all pestering James and harassing James, 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 James? Then when James say something back, everybody's like, oh my God, I didn't do anything. Why is James attacking me? And just like, no, you're pestering him. It's like pestering a cat. Once that cat go crazy and fucking slice up your face, whose fault is it? You can't be like, oh my God, it's the cat's fault. No, you was pestering the cat.
Yeah.
You're pestering the lion that attacked you.
Mm-hmm.
And for over 13 years, like when people bring up, oh my God, because I saw this one comment, what was it? Oh, this should be like a pageant, and they need to, dethrone James and blah, 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 take away the title and all this stuff. And I comment saying, baby, it's over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Once that title is up, he already fulfilled his obligations. Why are y'all riding him that hard just to see what he's going to do?
Yeah.
Like, why? Then I want to go one step further and be like, so there's nothing going on in your life that's exciting, but go on the internet and harass somebody else. Okay. You don't want the world cyberbullying you or cyberbullying anybody else, mm-hmm. but you want to cyberbully somebody.
Yep.
So what, like, you know, when is all this going to stop? Because it's going to take that one racer to do something crazy. It's going to take that one racer for people to be like, oh my God, let me stop. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be too late and all this stuff. Like hell, people, cyberbullying quick. And it's just like, oh no, it's just laughter and all this stuff. No, because if someone else say that to you, it's like, oh my God, and all this, like,
yep.
Okay, like, calm this down. You new racer chasers from watching season 8 and up that don't know nothing about the old holes, cheer up.
What is your opinion on the fan base themselves? Because it's been brought up in conversation a lot, specifically recently, about the racial bias. Did you ever experience any of that racial bias from the fans back then, or is it more in recent times?
Back then, we had a little bit, but not how it is now. Mm-hmm. Because I think back then, people were still, you know, we were on, what, Logo and VH1. We wasn't really all the way out there, hardcore how it is now.
Yeah.
But it's also go by what you're going to take. Because mm-hmm. I've noticed watching people's lives, the fandom will comment and say something off the wall to see you flip out. Now, if you flip out on that one person that said something crazy to you, now they all know how to get to you. And they're always going to continue to do that. If you just ignore, block them, move on, you're perfectly fine. And just be like, oh, pay them no mind. But the fandom nowadays is toxic. And the sucky thing is they're all probably like the age of 12 and under. And it's just like, kid, I have an eyeshadow palette older than you. Please go somewhere. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Just because you can come on online and be like, oh my God, I could type racial things. Like, go home. Mm-hmm. Do something. Go watch Barney. I think Barney got a cross dress on there or something. Go watch Barney. Go do something. But no, the fandom now is just like, it's very, very toxic. And it's just like, wow. And the thing is, everybody knows it's toxic and all this stuff, but no one is doing anything about it.
Yeah.
No one is checking up. Be like, hey girl, what's going on? And blah, blah, blah. Or when people see all the toxic stuff being posted on people's lives and everything, mm-hmm. why isn't the watchers commenting back, saying, hey, calm this down, stop this? So with that, they're more guilty than the person that's saying something, because they're just right there watching it go down. If everybody gets on the bandwagon when their crazy comments come up on somebody's live or anything, or even on like a Facebook photo or anything like that, shut it down.
Yep, agree.
If people are with their friends and everything, and one person say something that's off the wall, and no one, and you know, you're right there like, ooh, this is a little off the wall, but no one is saying nothing, and you're not saying nothing, mm-hmm. you're guilty too.
Yep. Guilty by association.
Correct. That's why my whole circle of friends is like real, real small. Like real, I don't know.
It has to be quality, not quantity.
My whole circle ain't even quality sometimes. We're just all crazy in the head.
On but a lighter no, note, we'll cover that. A lot of people have messaged me and asked about the cocktails back then. Because obviously there's rumors that fly around nowadays that they're really watered down, they only get one, and that Jujubee kind of, in that way, ruined it for everyone because she got pissed before going on stage. Were they really strong cocktails, like, back then? And were you given just one, or were you given free rein?
I cannot confirm or deny what happened with Juju, because I was at home and I was not there for that episode or anything like that. Put that out there, Reddit people, because y'all probably going to try to twist words around and everything. But no, we did not have a one drink maximum.
And they weren't watered down either?
No, they were not watered down either. We had how many, kind of, we just, I wouldn't say an open bar, but you know, it was, yeah, kind of, sort of, something, yeah.
And
it wasn't like you know how I make my shots or my drinks, where it's just like, oh my god, I'm tasting nothing but pure liquor. But it was like you know, it had a little kick on it.
Yeah. Oh, good to know. Good to know.
Yeah.
And the last question I'll ask, because everyone has asked it, is,
am I going to be on All Stars? If I get asked to go on All Stars, will I do it? And blah, blah, blah. Let's put it this way. If y'all want to see me on All Stars, that means y'all need to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's nice that y'all saying, oh my God, I want to see you on All Stars. But if I don't have the follower account, and if you're not actually tweeting them and all that stuff, saying, oh my God, I want to see Mystique and blah, 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 I won't be on All Stars, which is fucked up, because I'm probably the only one that has the best turnaround story from going from 390 pounds down to 215, changed everything around and all this bullshit. But yeah,
it's That's all your storyline right there.
See, right. So with the fandom, it's all on y'all. Y'all want to see me, that's great and all this stuff. But if y'all are not following me, y'all really don't want to see me. Mm-hmm. If y'all really want to see me, y'all will actually retweet and tweet them and be like, we want to see Mystique. We want to see this. And all that stuff to get them like, oh my God, the fandom really, really want to see it. And not just like, oh my God, I just started watching the show and I just saw season two. Oh my God, you should be on All Stars. You look so different. Like no, you need to, you know.
So tweet, Instagram, Facebook, VH1, Logo, World of Wonder, and tell them that you want to see Mystique Summers on All Stars 6, 7, 8, whatever we get up to.
27, All Stars beginner. If you can sleep with a producer, go for it. Get me on Master Chef or Nailed It. I would not. Hell, put me on 90 Day Fiance if need be. Shit.
And before we wrap up, I want to get your social media handles for anyone that is looking to follow you, and that they then can tweet you or add you into the conversation for All Stars.
I'm one of the rare breeds. All my social medias is Mystique Summers.
I love that.
If you want to Venmo me, cash at me, all at Mystique Summers.
I love a uniform handle because it's easy to find you on everything rather than people having like wee underscores and bits and bobs. So,
oh yeah.
Mystique, I want to say thank you very much for joining me today. It's been great chatting with you and getting all the behind the scenes gossip that we have been given.
Oh no, it was fun just chilling here with Casper, the friendly ghost, and his uncles.
I hope that the rest of your lockdown experience is fun and you get to go out and live your life as normal pretty soon, because I need to as well.
I know, I'm about to go, you know, across the pond. To my mailbox, because it's across the pond. So, you know, I don't, quick and easy, cross that pond, go to my mailbox and come back. I did a world tour. Yes.
Enjoy the rest of your day, and I will speak to you again very, very soon.
Okie dokie.
Have a nice day. Bye.
Where are you going? It's not over yet. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts and tell us how amazing the show is. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at Don't F It Up and at Kyle Divine Clark, all one word, and we will see you next week. Bye.